Episode 77.
You'll see the core belief of the new or the next generation of AMI being around the principle that learning is the only source of an ongoing, sustainable, competitive advantage.
Welcome, aftermarketers, to On Point from Remarkable Results Radio, and a special interview from an auto care industry professional. On Point. Hello, aftermarketers. Carm Capriotto here, and welcome to episode 77. And it's brought to you by Federal Mogul Motor Parts. Search for parts, get the latest technical updates, and even sign up for their new Garage Rewards loyalty program at their all-new website, fmmotorparts.com. Today's special guest is the president of the Automotive Management Institute, Jeff Peavy. Jeff is a 34-year industry veteran who has spent the last 20 years involved with education and research. Jeff will discuss the important role knowledge and learning play in your organization's future and why a learning culture is so important. He shares with you exciting improvements to AMI that are coming, along with growing the professional AAM, or Accredited Automotive Management Certification Program, and soon to be announced a Master AAM accreditation. Jeff explains the exciting times going on at AMI to include concentrations on these key knowledge areas: leadership, sales marketing, personal and HR management, financial, operations, risk, and IT management. These core competencies will help shop owners become great business people. And Jeff discusses the new learning management system that's going to be implemented soon. Great wisdom coming at you with Jeff Peavy, President, AMI, Automotive Management Institute. Here we go. So, Jeff, on May 1st, 2015, you were hired as AMI President.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
What is your mission going to be at AMI?
Well, the mission itself isn't going to change, and that really is to identify, provide, and promote quality business education and recognition for the success of the automotive service repair industry. And I'd like to make a point, and that is, and I think a lot of people may not realize this, but the Automotive Management Institute is a 501c3 nonprofit. So, you know, the industry does not have to question our motives. Profit certainly is not our motive. Survival, of course, and being healthy is. But really, our focus is simply on the mission. We are very much a mission-driven organization, and we'll be going forward as much, if not more, than we ever have been.
So I would imagine the reason you are there is to make some really good, positive changes. And I'm assuming that you're working on some new strategies for AMI. Can you share what they would be and what the new AMI would look like under your leadership?
Oh, I would be glad to. First of all, the AMI board, or the Automotive Management Institute's board of trustees, and I have been working on a new strategy for the past 7 months. When I started back in May, I went into exploration mode, and I spent 5 months just asking questions and listening to the responses and feedback. And the questions that were asked to shop owners, they were asked to managers maybe that didn't own the shop, instructors, and just students and employees of shops in general, those who had been involved with AMI program, and those probably equally important, those who had not been. The questions range from what had AMI done in the past that was relevant and what had been valuable to the individual I was talking to really the what can we do to increase our relevance going forward to you as an individual as well as to the industry overall. And it was from that coaching and feedback as well as from what I had learned in my previous position that we developed a plan, and I'll share it with you. We plan to launch the next generation of the Automotive Management Institute. The plan is to launch it in March of 2016. With a little luck, we'll make that. But if we don't, it'll be around the March timeframe for sure. We will have a new website. We will have a world-class, powerful learning management system to support our training and our recognition programs. And when we launch, we will offer credit hours for over 80 online courses, numerous virtual training programs, as well as over 225 live instructor-led courses. Now, We will offer also new education tracks and certificates for the service repair segment, as well as the collision repair segments in customer service and office management. We will continue to grow our professional designations for, again, the service repair segment and the collision repair segment with the continuation of the accredited automotive manager, or AAM, as you've often seen people that wear that title, and also a new accredited master of automotive management. So we will have one that even goes above that. One of the other key changes coming is with an update to our knowledge area platform and competencies, where we originally had five. When we launch in March, we're going to have seven. And those new programs are broken into two areas. So there's going to be a required core competencies that will be tested, and then there will be electives.
Can you tell us what they are?
Sure. Well, first, the elective area will resemble really what AMI has always done. Training providers that have been approved by AMI for credit will continue to have their programs recognized and accredited within the elective areas for their programs or our programs. And this really, and I think this is really important, it allows us to continue our valued relationships with our current training providers that we've had relationships with for years. And in fact, it will enable us to do more and to serve the industry more, as well as serve our industry providers. And so, it's pretty exciting times. Now, I'll get to your question about those seven areas. The seven, what we're going to refer to as knowledge areas, are leadership, sales and marketing, personnel management and HR development, financial management, operational management, risk management, and IT management. Not that we would try to make someone, you know, qualified to be an IT director at some corporation, but there are things a business owner, for example, needs to know about the topics of information technology.
You know, Jeff, I've got to stop you there for a moment. We've just published a face-to-face podcast on the E-Myth, Michael Gerber's classic book on the myth of entrepreneurialism, and we had a great dialogue. So many shop owners out there are great technicians, and they opened up their business, and now they realized it's much harder to run a business than they ever thought. What I see you're doing is you're bringing the entrepreneurial or business skill classes to the industry. Now, many owners read books, join coaching groups to get themselves to the next level, but this looks like the fixer or even the elixir for anyone who's ready to say, hey, I want to be a better business person. This looks like the program.
And that's the plan, for sure. You know, there's a lot of foundational things here that are important. And so it goes like this. Within each knowledge area resides core competencies. And I'll give you an example. In the knowledge area of financial management, there are required competencies that are satisfied through online courses, by the way, in understanding financial statements. Accounting basics, budgeting basics, and job costing are just a few examples. You know, and someone who has experience or knowledge in these core competencies will be able to test out quickly and move to the more advanced electives.
I see.
But for consistency's sake, we want confirmation of knowledge on these important core competencies.
It's got to cover it all. I see.
Yeah.
Being a top technician takes a lot of hard work, and you can't do it alone. I believe you would agree, vehicle technologies, repair procedures, and diagnostics are changing every year. That's where Federal Mogul Motor Parts' Guru Garage can help. The Garage Gurus program has been designed by and for technicians and offers the most comprehensive program of support tools in the industry. There's a nationwide network of Guru on-site training and technology centers where you can get hands-on training with the equipment and tools needed to solve real work-related challenges. And when you can't make it to on-site training, there's Gurus Online, a 24/7 online academy with a huge catalog of course options. Garage Gurus also helps where it matters most, on the job, in your shop. Their Gurus on the Go technology fleet, well, they bring the latest products and technology demos right to you. If you need a quick part lookup, the Gurus On Demand app gives you fast, easy, and accurate info. And when you need help with a technical issue, their bilingual ASE-certified Gurus On Call are ready to help. And this year, they're introducing the Garage Rewards Loyalty Program, which gets you points towards free gear from your favorite Federal Mogul Motor Parts brands. It costs nothing to join, and you could start earning points immediately. So head on over to fmgarageguru.com, learn all about the Garage Gurus program, and start earning points today. You mentioned online. However, are there leader-led programs where students will go into a seminar?
Yeah, I mean, we are involved, understand, we really one of the best ways to describe AMI is we're collaborators. We work with training providers and management training providers of all kinds. Some are individuals, some are companies. On the collision side, for example, a lot of the refinish or paint manufacturers have management classes. And on the mechanical side, there's a lot of great training and really consultants and businesses that are focused on helping shop owners. And we work with them and give them recognition within our system.
How do you vet them out?
Well, the system, that whole vetting process for years has varied on and off. We are in the process of really building that to be more stringent. One of the things that happened, and a lot of probably a lot of instructors may not have even realized it, but for example, at NACE, we had someone from AMI in every class the whole time. We had someone who was reporting.
I see.
How the course went. How the quality of the curriculum, and we're going to continue to do that more and more. Now, we're pretty lean and mean, and we will be for the next couple of years, but we have a process that we look at, and it's going to become even more relevant, where we're looking at curriculum and content and outlines that's been presented to us against these seven knowledge areas and the core competencies and the things. You're going to see us driving more and more consistency into the industry around what is really important.
I see.
And we're always going to stay open. If someone sees something that we missed or that they think has changed and needs to be addressed, we're going to be very open to staying relevant.
Well, I love the idea that you have a vetting process and you're looking for best content.
Absolutely.
And so if you have a class with feedback in a particular area, you may add, improve, or change a class?
That's correct. One of the things that we intend to do, and we won't be able to do it right off, but one of the things we will do is really as a third-party neutral collaborator is we will work with training providers to provide them with support. And so, you know, we may at times, and in my past life I had done this, we've had some hard conversations with instructors. You know, if you teach a lot, and especially if you teach the same things a lot, there are some real landmines to that where you can get caught in a trap where you begin to forget, have I covered this material or was that the last class or whatever? So we're going to support that and try to help that.
I've done that over and over again in a particular course around the country for an organization I belong to. And if I wasn't so into what the knowledge transfer was and the quality that I knew I had to give and what the students got, I could see how I could have gotten into a rut.
Sure. Well, we are going to be publishing in first quarter of 2016. We're going to be publishing some new policies and procedures around content approval, and we'll put that out there for the whole world to see and to understand the process, and it'll be fairly stringent.
So technology, obviously AMI has got to look to see how they can parlay technology in their offering. Is it all going to be about technology?
No, absolutely not. One of the things that I knew from experience that AMI had been missing was a learning management system or LMS. And that is really an electronic platform that can consistently host and track records. It can host the online, it can host virtual training, pre-recorded webinars. It can also handle attendee rosters for live instructor-led courses, as well as e-commerce and registration and everything. And we will launch that in March. We will offer it free to the industry if those that teach classes need help with registrations. And in the end, the goal is that we will eliminate or certainly minimize paperwork. So an instructor can literally go in and provide credit confirming that a student has passed a course so that the credit is instantly recognized on behalf of the student.
Okay, I did some research on LMSs a few years back and found out that they are awesome, but they are also layered and could be complicated. Are you working on that right now?
Yeah, one of the things that we did is we went through a process with 22 different LMS vendors.
Wow.
And yeah, and that took several months. And this past Monday, I made recommendation to the Board of Trustees and got approval. So we now have a vendor that we are working with, and we will be developing and building this thing out over the next really 3 months.
Well, it sounds exciting and seems to be the missing piece. Wow, great stuff. What would you say if I told you there's a new brake pad on the market that can stop a pickup SUV or CUV up to 50 feet sooner than other leading pads, and it lasts up to twice as long as the previous designs? You'd probably tell me, prove it, right? Well, that's exactly what Wagner Brake is doing with their new Wagner OEX brake pads. In independent third-party testing, Wagner OEX brake pads stopped up to 50 feet sooner than other leading brake pads. Yeah, you heard that right, up to 50 feet. The testing was performed by Link Engineering, and they're pretty much the industry standard when it comes to brake performance testing, so it's reliable proof. But Wagner, they didn't stop there. They asked 400 top technicians to put Wagner OEX pads to the test, where it matters most, in their shops and on their customers' vehicles. 99% said they saw a noticeable difference in the new brakes, and 95% said they'd likely recommend them to other professionals and their customers. Now, you can get Wagner OEX brake pads in your shop. They'll be available soon nationwide with coverage for 95% of U.S. pickups, SUVs, and CUVs. To check coverage and learn about some of the science that went into creating Wagner OEX, check out WagnerBrake.com. Jeff, how does the service professional entrepreneur set up a learning culture inside his or her business?
Well, you know, I have to really say that it starts... This is probably really important. It starts by acknowledging that your business even has a culture within it. It's a cult that very culture dictates your success, your profitability, and even employee turnover. I have been blessed asked to speak at industry conferences really around the world about the topic of learning culture. And where I've presented this, there's been a couple of times where I had shop owners approach me, and two of them in particular said, you know, I really don't think my shop has a culture. And my response is a quote really from a famous psychiatrist named R.D. Lang. He says that the range of what we think and do is limited by what we fail to notice. And so I take the definition that I use around business culture can be defined as a pattern of learned assumptions that has worked well enough to be considered valid and therefore to be taught to new members as the correct way to perceive, think, and feel in relation to the problems of survival and integration.
Wow. Can you repeat that? No, I'm only kidding. Is what you're saying is that you really do have a culture, and it depends on how you nurture it?
Absolutely. And acknowledging that you have one and becoming aware of what it is and where its strengths are and where its weaknesses are really important. So there's a couple of things. So you'll see the core belief of the new or the next generation of AMI being around the principle that learning is the only source of an ongoing, sustainable, competitive advantage.
Ah.
And so if that's true, and we believe it to be, you're going to see us act on the importance of learning. Now, I'm going to back up just a little bit on the culture discussion. The next generation of AMI, when we launch in March, we will be offering a free learning styles questionnaire program that will enable the individuals to better understand their own personal learning styles. And then we'll provide tips and suggestions on how they should approach classes, whether they're online or whether they're instructor-led. And you know, again, that core belief is that learning is the only source of an ongoing competitive advantage. So acting on the belief that you will see us do everything possible to enable learning, not just taking classes. That's a problem in the industry. We tend sometimes to take training really as a requirement, and we go through the motions. And so we're going to do that. We're going to do that because once you understand, for example, I'm a what they would refer to as a global learner. I tend to just kind of in a very disorganized sort of way, just pick up a little here and a little there and a little there, and then start to put the picture together. And the challenge with that, it has its challenges. Now it can do some pretty cool things, but if you understand that's how you learn, then you can play to that as a strength.
Jeff, is there different ways that adults learn? The different styles, I guess, is what you're saying. It would be great to know my strengths and weaknesses in learning and be sure I'm in the right kind of delivery method.
Yeah, it will take us some time, but one of the goals that I have is to develop icons around learning styles and literally introduce those into the courses so that when you're taking a course, especially an online or a virtual, there'll be an icon that if you are a visual learner, you can click on that and it will give you a more visual way of seeing whatever the topic is that's being discussed. As a global learner, it could put a lot of different things in a picture and then show you how they all connect. So we're going to be working on that. That's going to be a really interesting project, but we're going to lead that and then offer that again to the industry as support. The other thing that we're going to do before I get too deep in this culture discussion is we are collecting training information from training providers around the industry. The idea is we have committed to maintaining a free searchable database on our website of all things training. So if a shop owner, a manager, again, supporting the learning concept and the culture of learning.
Got it.
If you're looking for training, whether it be management, whether it be technical, collision, whether it be repair, service repair, or whatever training you're looking for, you'll be able to search for that, find out who does it, how is it delivered? How often is it delivered? And how you can access it. And so we've committed to that. But what we're doing is we're asking training providers to go to our website, amionline.org, and fill out this form so that they can be included in that database. So those are sort of things that we're doing to support. Now again, because learning plays such a crucial role in the success of a shop, we're going to support it in every way we can. And that's really just two ways that we're going to support it. Now, talking further about the learning culture, we spent five years studying the relationship, or it started out as the ROI of training, technician training. Did it exist? As a former organization, working for an organization that was a training provider, we really wanted to know if there was an ROI in training. And if there wasn't, we needed to really reflect on what we needed to do to change so that there was. And so wasn't scientific, but we spent 5 years studying three different groups of shops. And what we found, though, was as we would check the key performance indicators of the shops before the study and throughout the study and then some years afterwards, we found that the best performing shops got way better. The average shops got better, and the lowest performing shops got a little better, but didn't sustain it. And so we went back and started looking at what was it that these businesses did that was different. You could walk through them. They had the same equipment, some of them same square footage. A lot of them had the same training. But there was something different. And here's what we found. Now, the shop owners wouldn't necessarily say this in the very words. We tried to articulate it in a way that we could start then to train to it. And that was that they believed knowledge was a company asset. And that learning was, as we've said, the only source of an ongoing competitive advantage. They tended to promote and support that belief throughout the organization. You didn't just see them say, yeah, we believe in lifelong learning in the front office, and then left it. You saw them really, truly believe it and promote it. The other thing was that then they established a learning expectation within their own staff. They made it very clear when they were hiring and when they were just interacting with one another, they expected the staff and they held the owners and managers held themselves to that same standard, that they were constantly learning and there was an expectation to learn. So if they sent someone to a class, they said, I expect you to come back and talk to us about what you learned. There was the other thing was is that they tended as a group to share what they knew with it. With one another. So if they did go to a class and learn something, they come back and shared it. The other side, and probably the more important side of that, is they tended to be more open to learning from each other. So if technician A went to technician B and said, "Hey, I see you're cutting that quarter panel off, or you know, you're working on this way. I learned a way that may be faster and more accurate." The technician would be more open to receiving it. The other thing too, and this is one probably we could talk about for a long time. It doesn't seem like a big one, but I saw it, and that is a commitment to expertise within a role. Now, how many times have we? And I was a technician. Yeah, that was making a personal commitment that I'm going to be the very best I can be within whatever role I was in, and we saw that consistently through those highest performing shops. Over and over and over. So, you know, regardless of whether it's collision repair or service repair, that's very important, is that everyone in that shop, it doesn't matter, you know, if you're one of the lowest, if you're performing one of the lesser roles within a shop, maybe even working part-time, you could even be a parts runner, but you just become an expert at doing that, and there's a commitment there. One of the other things, too, is that we saw technicians and people and the whole organization thought about the whole organization. We call it systems thinking. But what happened is that we saw in a lot of the lesser performing shops, technicians tended to look at the car they were working on in their stall on that day. And they never really looked beyond that. And so if they made a decision to do something, they never thought about maybe the repercussions up the stream or downstream. But in those better performing shops, they always thought about how their actions would affect others.
Is that one of those, I'm going to be the best of the best?
Yeah.
So it's team think.
Right.
Well, we're a business unit. We're solid. We move left and right together, even though it may not look like that.
That was probably one of the most fascinating things. And we had this big debate at first when that was, can technicians, you know, can we teach systems thinking? And, you know, we come to this conclusion, and it was kind of a big joke around with my staff, is I drew a picture of a battery on a whiteboard and then added, drew wires to an alternator. And then, you know, and I said, well, here's the thing. Technicians, systems think all the time. They think, you know, the modern automobile is a series of systems. And what we need to do is teach them enough about the business side that they then can be invited to systems think about the business. Technicians tend to be really good at systems thinking, actually.
I see. You just turned a light on inside of me. First of all, I love everything you said. It's very inspiring, and I think it looks like a solid blueprint for any entrepreneur to grab hold of and make changes in his or her business. But to pull the entire team together under an umbrella called Team Think, Systems Think, what a marvelous idea, if you will. An umbrella strategy to have the right learning culture and setting expectations, sharing, and those shops that have this core really have a great training ROI, even probably better than the norm.
Well, okay, so think about this. So if I'm going to send someone to training with an expectation to learn, and they know that when they come back, they're going to have to share what they've learned. They're going to tend to learn. We saw shop owners and managers apologize to technicians for having to send them to training. And that was the kiss of death. They went into those really thinking, well, I already know all this and I'm just going through the motions. But when they knew there was an expectation to learn, they did. So when you come back and you share what you've learned and you share it with people who are open to learning, you just maximize the whole process. And what we saw was in some shops there was equipment that the shops had a learning culture. Almost every technician that used that piece of equipment knew everything there was and how to use it to the most effective manner possible. It was fascinating. Whereas the average shop, only a couple of people really knew how to use the equipment, and very few, if any, knew how to use everything about that piece of equipment to maximize it. So you could see that over and over and over how that learning culture supported the ROI of equipment purchases and shop layout and everything.
Jeff, if I personally don't have the ambition to improve myself, could I learn it or acquire it?
Yeah, here's something else that since I got really just caught up in this whole learning culture thing is I found a study where it actually tried to quantify the fact, and it seemed to, even though it wasn't a scientific study, that older we get, the less open we are to learning. And you know, if you think about that, that's true. There's a point where we tend to get to where we're just done, and we don't want to learn anymore, especially around computers. And I joke about this. My mom says, you know, she don't want to learn another operating system. She's done. You know,
pick up a smartphone.
Yeah. So you think about that, but really, here's the real truth. Learning is life, and when we stop learning, things go down very quickly with us because we're built to learn. And so if you recognize that as you get older, you're going to tend to not be as open to learning, and then just consciously feed that natural tendency to want to learn, you can overcome that. And, you know, again, learning is a competitive advantage. So especially if you have an aging workforce that is determined to stay competitive and stay in the workforce, being open to learning will keep you relevant.
Exciting stuff, man. Great. Now, we could go on for an hour, I know. I'm very impressed listening to you. Now, I think about how many times we've had podcasts on training. We've discussed apathy. We've discussed 40 hours of training with strong learning cultures, like you say. And then there is that I really don't want to go attitude that drives a negative on your training ROI. I'm driving toward the work-life balance of being a perpetual student and constantly learning.
Mm-hmm.
Anything ever come out of your surveys that says if the culture is right, the work-life balance happens, but if the culture isn't what it should be, then it will always get back to personal, like I've got to go cut the grass, I've got to go home?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so here's one of the things, I guess, if we wanted to kind of balance that off, there's two areas, and I'll try to remember to get to the second one. And the second one has to do with millennials.
Hey, make sure I ask you that.
But when you work in a business that has a learning culture, they see learning as a business function. So instead of going, well, we can't let our technicians go during the day because they're working, a shop that has a learning culture will let their technicians go during the day because they know it is a competitive advantage. And and they're going to become more effective, more efficient, faster, more accurate, everything about it. So it may seem like a sacrifice in the short term, but you got to flip that mentality and really see it as important enough to say, hey, I'll send them during the day because it is important. And we will maximize it. The second thing, and you know what, every generation can learn from the other. And I had at times had a kind of a dim view of millennials. And the more I studied them, the more I realized that they are the result of us. And look, watching our careers and going, I'm not sure that all that work and everything they did is really all that worth it. But there's a couple of things. And let me talk about one last thing. Well, two things there with millennials and the learning culture. When we saw businesses that had a learning culture, they tended to share a similar vision from the front office to the back of the shop. Now, they didn't call it necessarily a vision, but when you ask them what was the purpose of that business and what do you see this business in the future, one of the things that the top shops consistently saw and their employees saw as well, and that was they fixed cars, they repaired cars in such a way that it was good for the community, that they would put their families in those cars and they were proud to serve the community in that way. The lesser performing shops their employees tended to struggle with what the business was about, and they tended to put it and frame it up more as a profit thing. So millennials have an expectation to serve the community. They have an expectation to do more than just go to work to make money. And so a learning culture that has the attitude that they're doing something good for I go to train because I want to be the best technician I can be so that I can serve the community better, tended to satisfy millennials more than the old school industrial age management mindset that saw technicians simply as laborers.
But they're also going to learn more.
And so the final thing is that those shops that had learning cultures tended to recruit to support that culture. And we found that when you put in your help wanted ads, that there was going to be an expectation to learn and an expectation to share what you know.
Sure.
There was a younger generation of trained and educated technicians that responded to that help wanted ad that would not respond to a help wanted ad that said must have tools, turn so many hours.
Because they want to go to work somewhere where they can be appreciated and that they can be part of the culture.
You got it.
They want to be in on it.
You got it.
More than any employee of the past. I've recently at Apex, I attended a few millennial training classes as we talk about millennials on the podcasts. I can best understand them, and I have two children that are millennials myself. Mm-hmm. It is just amazing how they think and work. Occasionally, I've heard Generation X as digital natives and millennials in the same vein. With millennials, you hit it on the head. And I'll tell you, I got to say something. We've spent an incredible amount of time. Can you come back and we can dig into this further sometime?
Absolutely. Just let me know when. I'd be more than glad.
Fabulous. I can't thank you enough. Jeff Peavy, president of the Automotive Management Institute. It was an engaging, enlightening, profound, and very exciting episode. I learned a lot, and there's no doubt that our listeners are going to have a million takeaways from this. Thanks for being here.
Well, thank you for the opportunity.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from another inspiring aftermarket professional. Until next time.